From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Chain of Grace, part of a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. In verses 10 and 11 of the chapter, we read of the body being dead because of sin, and the spirit being life because of righteousness. In this passage, Paul is declaring that the death of a believer is the last of three inseparable links in the chain of grace: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Paul is again emphasizing that no effort of the flesh can bring about the salvation of a soul. Only God the Holy Spirit can do that, as he applies Christ's merits to the heart of a sinner. This is what the apostle meant by the expression, "The Spirit is life because of righteousness." The life given by the Holy Spirit is perfect, eternal life, bestowed upon a body that was dead because of sin. This is the ultimate glorification of the believer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. If the disposal of the lot is the Lord's, whose is the arrangement of our whole life? If the simple casting of a lot is guided by him, how much more the events of our entire life, especially when we are told by our blessed Savior, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Not a sparrow falleth to the ground without your Father." It would bring a holy calm over your mind, dear friend, if you were always to remember this. It would so relieve your mind from anxiety that you would be the better able to walk in patience, quiet, and cheerfulness as a Christian should. When a man is anxious, he cannot pray with faith. When he is troubled about the world, he cannot serve his master. His thoughts are serving himself. If you would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things would then be added unto you. You are meddling with Christ's business and neglecting your own when you fret about your lot and circumstances. You have been trying providing work and forgetting that it is yours to obey. Be wise and attend to the obeying, and let Christ manage the providing. Come and survey your Father's storehouse, and ask whether he will let you starve while he has laid up so great an abundance in his garner. Look at his heart of mercy. See if that could ever prove unkind. Look at his inscrutable wisdom. See if that will ever be at fault. Above all, look up to Jesus Christ, your intercessor, and ask yourself, while he pleads, can your Father deal ungraciously with you? If he remembers even sparrows, will he forget one of the least of his poor children? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. My soul, rest happy in thy low estate, nor hope nor wish to be esteemed or great. To take the impress of the will divine, be that thy glory, and those riches thine.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. You may send your check for $15 per CD made out to Let the Bible Speak. Simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may reserve a copy by emailing ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Just mention Our Song of Praise.
There's always the tendency to seek to equate sickness with sin. Now, in some cases, there may be an equation like that. The sodomite who lives in his sodomy and contracts AIDS as the direct result of a sin. Sometimes there is a direct connection. But for the vast majority, the connection is more remote. It is back to the fact of sin. That sin in which all humanity participated in Adam. The body, therefore, on account of sin, is dead. So Paul speaks of physical death. But since this is such a huge thing, he goes on to speak of spiritual life. And he says, that's only on the one hand. On the one hand, the body's dead on account of sin. But on the other hand, the spirit is life. The spirit is life. and it's on account of righteousness. Now, those are simple words, or at least so they appear, and they have engendered centuries of controversy. What's the meaning of the word Spirit here? Does he mean the Holy Spirit, or does he mean the human spirit? Most modern commentators, at least many of them, seem to take the idea that it's the human spirit. For example, Dr. Hodge, and I think again John Calvin, my memory's right, but certainly Dr. Hodge said, the body and the spirit. The antithesis of the human body is the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So the body's dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. That sounds very good, except for one small problem. It's not what Paul wrote. Paul, by the way, that tends to be a problem that many interpreters overlook. They like to interpret and exegete what they think should be there rather than what is there. And he didn't say the body is dead and the spirit is alive. If he said that, it would be the human body and the human spirit. But he says the body is dead because of sin. The spirit is life. And I cannot find anywhere where that is said of any spirit but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is life. And furthermore, when I look in this section of Romans, Paul is using the Greek term that is translated spirit. He's using it again and again. And in every other instance in this connection, it is always a reference to the Holy Spirit. And so I read that the Authorized Version got it exactly right here. As usual. I'm not going to get into that. But as usual, it's right. The Spirit, with a capital S, the Spirit is life. You see, the answer to the deadness of the body is the life of the indwelling Spirit of God. That's the answer to the deadness of the body. Now, that word life, is it's a very wide term. The Spirit is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, when we dealt with that, we took that actual terminology to be descriptive of the gospel, and it's saying that you have justification, you have life, because the Holy Spirit quickens you and brings you into union with Christ. He's the author of that effectual call. He's the one who illuminates your understanding. He's the one who renews your will. He's the one who regenerates you. He's the one, therefore, who produces faith. And then what's called the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation, the order of events in the saving of a soul. Regeneration precedes faith, and faith precedes justification. So what he's saying here, understand this. He's saying that the answer to the condemnation of sin in any man's life is the work of God's sovereign saving grace, whereby the Spirit of God, on account of the righteousness of Christ, puts you into Christ, brings you into a state of justification and acceptance with God, and that's a state of life. And the life does not end with justification, it continues in what we call sanctification. Notice what he says. We're talking about, on the one hand, the body is dead. But even though your body's dead, even though your body is going to betray you, even though your body can sicken and die, even though your body can be used as an instrument of sin, there is an indwelling spirit in the believer. Your body is now, for all its weakness, the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwells in you. This is real. He's the Spirit of life. And not only did he bring you to Christ for salvation or justification initially, but he keeps you in Christ. You've got to remember that. We tend always to want to isolate the moment of conversion, the moment of coming to Christ, the moment of being saved. Isolate the moment. That's something the Bible never does. The Bible never does that. And we ought not to do it. There is a moment where you pass from death unto life. There's a moment when you pass from condemnation into justification. That's true. But there's something that's very vital here. Watch the wording carefully. If Christ is in you, on the one hand your body's dead, but on the other hand, the Spirit is life. Because of the righteousness of Christ. And I take it that the righteousness of Christ, some people say it's because of your own righteousness and sanctification. I never find the New Testament says that your righteousness is the ground of the Spirit's working. The righteousness of Christ is the ground of the Spirit's working. Now watch therefore the logic. And this is where Paul is getting right to the heart of our Christianity. Justification is the cause of sanctification. The Spirit is life because of the righteousness of Christ. Justification is the cause of sanctification. Great Scottish commentator said, I'm paraphrasing very slightly to condense what he said, that only the sanctified are justified. And he was not saying they're justified because they're sanctified. If you read all that he said, he was saying the very opposite. Because they have been justified, they are sanctified. The Bible knows nothing about a justification that does not produce the fruit of holiness. The Bible knows nothing about an acceptance with God if there is no desire for holiness. The Bible knows no justification that does not issue in sanctification. But equally, and this is the third part of Paul's great argument, that sanctification is the forerunner of final redemption. And that's why he takes up the subject of eternal glorification in verse 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I don't know how far I would want to push this, but I like the idea. There's a great German interpreter of the New Testament, and he said, do you notice the difference in wording? The Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, and then in the next breath, he that raised up Christ from the dead. It's the same person, but the words are different. The names are different. And he gave it as his opinion that there's two truths here. He raised up Jesus. That is the individual person. In other words, that's a mark of the absolute historic reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the body in which he had been put to death. But he did not rise as an individual. He rose as the Christ, the anointed head of his people. And in his resurrection, you have the guarantee of ours. I like the thought, and certainly the apostle seems to bring us to that point, because here he refers to the what I will call the resurrection, but it's more than the resurrection, it's the redemption of the body. Notice what he says, he will quicken your mortal body. That's resurrection, but it means more than resurrection. Resurrection is the restoration to life. But there's more than restoration to life here. Here's the redemption of the body. Now it's subject to sickness, it's subject to death. Do you remember how Paul described the human body, the body of Christians, in Philippians 3? He called it our vile body. Literally, the body of humiliation. I think we can all understand that language. How often have you felt humiliated? How often is your soul grieved because either of the weakness of the body or the wickedness of the sin that would use this body? How often have we had to grieve with how we have looked? How often we have to grieve how we have lusted? Coveting. Letting our eyes go and our hands go to things that are not ours. How often we have grieved at how we have used our ears, our tongues, where our feet have wandered. It's a body of humiliation. Many a time we have had to get before God and prostrate ourselves and cry, God, forgive me. How I have grieved myself and how I have grieved the blessed Spirit of God. It's a body of humiliation, all right. It's a vile body. Body in which death is still working. But, says Paul in Philippians 3:21, the Lord Jesus shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So here's what he says in Philippians. He says, the Lord's going to change our bodies. In Romans he says, he's going to do it. He's going to quicken them. He's going to raise them and restore them. And he's going to do that, notice this carefully, on account of the Holy Ghost who dwells within us. He's going to bring us to a full and final glorification, a wonderful exaltation. You see, the indwelling Spirit of God, Christ in you, Paul says in Colossians 1:27, is the hope of glory. The word hope has the idea of the guarantee of glory. The indwelling Spirit is the guarantee of our final glorification. You see the links in the chain of grace. The Spirit brings us to faith in justification. That issues in real living sanctification from the same Spirit of life. And that living Spirit within us guarantees an eternal and absolute and perfect glorification.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.